Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, on page 358. Okay, so after the Jews emptied out Mitzrayim, and we discussed the concept of taking out the sparks of Kedusha from Mitzrayim, and it says that the Jews did what Moshe Rabbeinu did, told them. If you have just one interesting point in Pasuk Lamed Hey, Pasuk 35, it says that B'nai Yisrael did what Moshe Rabbeinu told them to do. So Chazal tell us that even though that there was a lot of money, and everybody knows Jews and money get along very well, but the Pasuk is saying, B'nai Yisrael also kedvar Moshe. They only did it because Moshe Rabbeinu told them to do it. And we'll see later in Pasuk B'Shalach more details about this. But B'nai Yisrael did it because Moshe Rabbeinu said, empty out Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, so the Jews did it. Okay, so the Pasuk says, the Yisrael B'nai Yisrael made Ramses Sukkis. The Jews traveled from Ramses to Sukkis. Now, Ramses was the city in Goshen where most of the Jews were at that time. And Rashi quotes here right away, from Ramses to Sukkah is 120 mil. Now, mil is 4,000 feet. So 120 mil, is about 100 miles, at least, maybe more. So over 100 miles. And yet, they did it instantaneously. And that's where later on in Chumash, there's a pasuk that says, V'esa eschem akanfi nishorim. Hashem said, I took you on the wings of eagles. In other words, like a miracle that the Jews were all able to leave Ramses. And the Me'amleis over here elaborates, by the way, on this whole concept of Moshe Rabbeinu went to gather the Jews together. It's basically, from Ramses to Sukkah, they write, should have taken 3 days. But Hashem came with the clouds and they emptied, they made it very quick. And it says a whole chashma, how many Jews there were, and there was a ton of Jews, and there's millions of Jews. And just to gather the Jews together and get them going, it was a big miracle that the Jews left immediately. Okay, from Ramses to Sukkot, K'sheish me'ez elef ragli, approximately 600,000 men, ha'gvarim the men, levad mitof, excluding children. That means there are 600,000 Jews between the age of 20 and 50. So if you count kids, senior citizens, women, there's approximately a chesed of 3 million Jews. So it was a tremendous going out of Egypt. And then the pasuk says, "V'gam erev rav ola itam." This great multitude, also a mixed multitude, went up with the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. Now who were the multitudes? Rashi says it was a mixture of a lot of nations. Some of Hashem learned it was basically Egyptians. Rashi says it was a mixture of nations. It wasn't only Egyptians. A lot of side nations went up with them. There's a medrash that says there were 2 million people, over 2 million people in the Eid of Rav. 2,400,000 people of the Eid of Rav that accompanied the Jews going out of Egypt. That's beside the 3 million Jews. The Eid of Rav of 2.4 million also went out with them. What?
Hashem only promised Abraham after slavery they will take him out. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu accept to take those people out of Egypt? They were not healed and they didn't suffer like Jewish people to get out to enjoy that thing from Hashem.
Why did Moshe Rabbeinu take the Eid of Rav?
Why did you let him say, come with us? Why?
Okay. So there's a whole... thing in the Medrash over here with various different things here in the Kisisa. The Medrash discusses that Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing with Hashem, so to speak. The Medrash later on in Kisisa. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing with Hashem whether the Eid of Rav should be allowed to go out with them. And Hashem really didn't want. Moshe Rabbeinu said, like he quotes here, you can't have a fruit without the peel. You need the... What does it mean? He says that in case there will ever be punishments of the Jews doing wrong, the Eid of Rav will be the punished ones. Later on, by the eagle, When Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem on Har Sinai, Lechred, Kishicheis Amcha, your nation became corrupt. What do you mean? It's Moshe Rabbeinu's nation? It's God's nation. So it says in the Medrash, God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole problem came from the Erev Rav. This is your nation. You're the one that said, take him out. So this is because the Erev Rav caused all the problems. The ego, the Erev Rav made. Okay, the Jews were influenced by it. But who instigated the whole trouble of the ego of the golden calf was the Erev Rav. When they complained by Yom Kamesainim that they had no meat, who complained? Ha'am, the Erev Rav. Everybody, all the problems of the Jewish people came because of the Erev Rav. Meraglim says also, the ones that died by the Meraglim, the ones that complained were the Erev Rav.
Be too kind.
The message is very simple. There are a lot of people that want to mingle with the Jews, and you have to set boundaries and barriers that you can't, so, because it's a negative influence.
You're saying Hashem didn't want Moshe argue, let them come with us?
Right.
Because of chesed he had? Or compassion?
Because he was chesed and he thought it would be beneficial for the Jewish people. No, the Erev Rav says was 24 ribui, which means 24 times 10,000. 24 times 10,000 is 2.4 million. Okay, not only that, Tzeinu Bakar, sheep and cattle, Mikne Kovin Meri was a tremendous amount of cattle. Now, the Erev Rav, by the way, were not included in all these miracles of the clouds and everything else that went on with the Jewish people. They weren't actually part of it. But even the Erev Rav, Tzeinu Bakar refers to the Erev Rav bought out a lot of cattle. Now it says in the Medrash, Paro tried stopping them from going out. He didn't want Egyptians going out with the Jewish people. But he had no choice because Paro now was worthless. Nobody listened to Paro. The Jews were so powerful, everybody just went out with them. The Erev Rav, it says also in Kabbalah, were also neshamas of certain people. Like if you remember, we learned in the past that the neshamas of converts, you know, got mixed up amongst the nations of the world, and therefore they're coming back to become Jewish, and so on and so forth. So in a certain respect, the concept of the Erev Rav were also those Jewish neshamas that had to go out with the Jewish people to Kabbalah Satayr and to Kriyas Yamsuf and all those things. But the end proved that they weren't very sincere in the whole purpose of becoming close to the Jews, or coming together with the Jews. At that time, they saw the Jews were on top of the world. So they said, let's go. Not because of fear. No, they weren't very afraid. They saw the Jews were so powerful. They wanted to go. The Makkos were over. That's not going to be any more Makkos. So now they shouldn't want to go out. No, it was because he wanted to beat it with the Jews. Then the Pasuk says as follows. The Jews baked this dough, asher yitziyum in Mitzrayim, that they took out of Mitzrayim, ugeis matzis, cakes of matzah, because it didn't rise, kilei chametz, simply means it didn't become chametz, meaning it didn't rise. Why not? Kigarshim in Mitzrayim, because they were driven out of Egypt, v'leyachlu lehismameya, and they were not able to wait or delay, v'gamtzei deleyoslam, they didn't make any food either. You know, they didn't go to the bakery to buy cakes or to the store to buy nash for going up on the trip. Basically, they were rushed out. They took dough on their back, and that dough, as the Medrash says, was baked in the sun. Now, this pasuk is a very interesting pasuk, just in the way Chassidus explains this pasuk of Vegamas Ve'yefet Sabashi Yatzim Mitzrayim Ugis Matzis. Number one, this is the hinted source of what it says in Kabbalah, that the Shmura Matzah should be round. You know, you have the square matzah, then you have the round Shmura Matzah. So what's the Indian? In Kabbalah, there's a lot of explanations of why the matzah should be round, but we know the Shmura Matzah is round. So one of the biblical hints to it is because it's called Ugeis Matzah. Now, Uga, it literally means a dough. But Uga also means round. So it says, Uga is matzah, is that the matzahs were round. Why? Because matzahs reach a level of kedusha of circles. What does a circle mean? A circle means there's no higher and there's no lower, there's no head of the table, there's no end of the table. Like we know, by political functions, a lot of times they make round tables. Why do they make round tables? Because otherwise you have a whole problem, who's going to sit at the head of the table, who's going to be insulted and sit at the end of the table. So when you have a round table, there is no higher or lower. Everybody's equal. So it says in Chassidus that the level of Igulim is a lofty level of Elokus that's so great that the highest levels and the lowest levels are both equal. So according to Kabbalah, matzahs have to be round. But the hint of it is the Pasuk says, Ugis matzahs. But if you take the Pasuk, and we discussed this already, that there, remember there were two levels of matzah. There was a matzah that the Jews ate in Mitzrayim before midnight, together with the Korban Pesach. We learned, if you remember, that Hashem told them, you have to eat the Korban Pesach together with matzah and morar. And then, there was this level of matzah that the Jews ate when they ran out of Egypt. By the first matzahs, the Torah says the expression, Ushmartem es ha-matzahs, you have to watch and guard the matzahs. Okay, meaning, it's a matzah that could become chametz, and therefore the Torah says you have to guard it and watch it and make sure it doesn't become chametz. This pasuk seems to imply ki lo chametz means it can't become chametz. Ki lo chametz means it can't become chametz. Why can't it become chametz? Because after midnight that Hashem revealed himself, like we learned, the essence of Hashem revealed himself. So this dough, the pasuk is saying, ki loy chametz means it can't become chametz. It's such a great level of matzah. And that's why over here the Torah says, ugis matzis. Because it came from such a level of kedusha, that circular, meaning higher and lower, it's so infinite, that the highest levels and the lowest levels are both equal. This is the level of it can't become chametz. So you're talking about a very lofty level of matzah that was baked in the sun, but it was a level of matter that couldn't possibly become chametz.
When you say back in the sun, you mean when it was behind
them? It's on the shoulders, in the sun.
Or they put it on the stone on the sun?
No, it says on the back. Now, why is the Pasuk telling us this? Why is the Pasuk says, the Gamtseid al-Yosulam, they didn't make any food? The Pasuk is telling us here the greatness of the Jewish people. They're leaving a country, 3 million people, no food. They're going out to a desert. The Jews didn't question what are we going to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Jews didn't question where are we going to buy Cokes, where are we going to buy ice cream. The Jews didn't ask anything.
They had a lot of money.
Yeah, but you know what? Money. There's a story in the Gemara that we learn every year on Tisha B'Av. That when the hungers hit Yerushalayim during the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, this lady, Marsus Bas Baitus, was the richest woman in Yerushalayim, and she kept sending out the servant to buy wheat, and he came back empty-handed, and there was nothing to eat. She took her money and she threw it into the street and said, what is this money valuable? It's worthless. If you can't buy it, money is only good if you can buy something with it. If you can't buy anything with the money, it's worthless. You're going to go out to a desert with millions of dollars, but you know, I'll tell you a little secret. If there's no food, you're still not going to live. And yet the Jews didn't question Hashem, as we say, Lechtech acharei bamidbar, we say it in Rosh Hashanah davening, Lechtech acharei bamidbar, to go after me into the desert, Beretz Lezeron, the Jews didn't even question. So the Pasuk over here brings out the greatness of the Jewish people. The Jewish people were so great when they're such a level when they left Egypt, they didn't even question God, where's the beef, or what's for dinner. They just left. And they didn't know what it was going to be. And he said they didn't make food, they didn't have anything to eat. But they didn't question. Okay. Now, how long did this matzah last them? The man didn't start coming down till the 16th of Iyar. A whole month later, they didn't have mon. This matzah, they ate for 31 days. It's an argument that in Mitzrayim, they had 1 day or 7 days. But this food, the matzah that they baked going out of Egypt, they ate for 31 days. Because the mon didn't start falling until the 16th of Iyar, and this is the 15th of Nisan. So 31 days, the Jews ate this matzah.
Only matzah.
Only matzah.
What did they drink?
So it was the same like a blessing.
But right after Kriyas Yamsuf, they complained there was no water, then he hit the rock and the water became. That they had right away. But the mon didn't fall until a month later.
So it was like the same miracle Elisha Hanavi that the bread came, they ate and there was mon.
There was a brach on the bread.
Didn't even have any grape juice to go with it?
No, they had
how they did Kiddush?
Diet Coke. Not until Matan Torah. That Shabbos and Mora, but Gatorade, Powerade. Gatorade is not kosher. They bought wine. How did they have everything they need? Their neighboring countries, they bought stuff from. Well, they had with them all the things that they needed. Okay, so they cut off in this, and the sun baked it like it was in a tanur, and they had the no other food, and yet this lasted them 60 meals. It didn't spoil, you know, whatever, the miracles that took place. Okay, the pasuk says, now, Meshe B'nai Yisrael, and the dwelling place, and this pasuk is a very important pasuk to understand the chronological, historical sequence of events, basically. Umeshe b'nei Yisrael, asher yashuv b'mitzrayim, the dwelling that the Yidin left in Mitzrayim, lived in Mitzrayim, was shleishim shana v'abam meyeh shana. 430 years. Taking this pasuk literally, the pasuk means that the Jews lived in Egypt 430 years. So obviously, right away, the question is, the Jews were never in Egypt 430 years, like Rashi says. Because Yocheved was born when the Jews came into Egypt. Yocheved was 130 when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 when they left Egypt. So the amount of time the Jews were actually in Egypt was 210. Here the pasuk says there are 430 years in Egypt. So how does it reckon? So what happened, you have to understand as follows. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu was 70, it's a bris bein apsodim, Moshe Rabbeinu was 70. That was the covenant that God appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Avraham Avinu, and he said, you should know that your children are going to be enslaved in Egypt 400 years, and then they're going to go out with a tremendous great amount of wealth. Avraham Avinu at that time was 70. The 400 years count from the birth of Yitzchak. From the birth of Yitzchak until the Jews left Egypt was exactly 400 years. Hashem told it to him 30 years before Yitzchak was born. So from the time Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem that your children are going to be slaves in Egypt, it was exactly 430 years. Now, there was a part of the tribe of Ephraim that had a Navi Sheker. It goes into the whole thing over here. There was a Navi Sheker. His name was Yagnun. There's this guy, Yagnun, was a false prophet of the tribe of Ephraim, and he told his tribesmen that, you know what? The cheshbon of 400 years is over. Because he counted the 400 years from the time Hashem told it to Yitzchak. To Avram. Hashem really said the 400 years start from the birth of Yitzchak, which was 30 years later. But they reckoned and calculated the 400 years from the time Hashem said it to Avram Avinu. So 30 years before the Jews were going out of Egypt, they decided they're going out of Egypt. They're going out of Egypt. And they gathered together the whole story over here. How many people they took? One second, it says over here the whole Cheshbon. They took... One second. I'm not there yet. Okay, they took 30,000 people who were very, very strong people, and they said, okay, the time is up. They got out of Egypt. Okay? They made two mistakes. Number one, they made a mistake in the reckoning. They said it was going to be 400 years. And the second mistake was, Hashem said, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. You're not going yourself out of Egypt. So they made two mistakes. Number one, they miscalculated the years. Plus, they went out themselves from Egypt instead of Hashem taking them out of Egypt. Okay, so now they went, everything, they took out a lot of money. They didn't prepare food either. Even bread they didn't take. Why? Because they said, we're going to go into the land of Plishtim, the next door in the country. We're going to buy all the food we need. But to make a long story short, the Goyim got together and they massed a massive army of strong people. And they killed out the whole tribe of the 30,000 people of Ephraim. One Jew remained alive from the whole thing. And it says that guy, 10 people remained. 10 people were not killed. They went back and told Ephraim was still alive. What happened? He was very upset. But 30,000 people of Ephraim died.
In one day.
In a few days. Now, Shabbos Cholamed Pesach, there's a whole story in Yecheskel about that summer Seyveshes, the dried bones. So one opinion in Gemara says that the dried bones that Yecheskel resurrected were the 30,000 people from Ephraim. Other people say it was completely different people. But in the Gemara, there's an opinion that says that the dried bones that Yecheskel resurrected were these 30,000 people from Ephraim.
But in Egypt, we're learning that nobody could get out of the Egypt. There was dogs, and there was guard, and it was a country that nobody could get out. How could
they were very strong people.
So they killed the army and the
They
army.
Got out. They got out.
And all those dogs, nothing happened?
They put muzzles on them. They had a spray. Maze.
How many years did actually Jews suffer?
What?
How many years did we actually were enslaved?
God can do anything.
Hey, that was brilliant. That's good. God could do anything. The only problem is Hashem told him not to go. Slavery itself, like we learned, the bitter slavery in Egypt, the hard labor and all that, was 90 years. 90. That means altogether they were there 210 years. From the 210, the hard labor was 90. And as we said, Mesha's older sister was 5 years older than him, was called Miriam. Because when she was born, Miriam means mar, bitter. When Miriam was born, it was when the bitter slavery started. So the whole thing was 90 years, basically.
You also said they took a lot of money. They were slaves. How could they take a lot of money today?
Huh? No, it wasn't the last 10 classes. Okay.
How we can from Yitzhak, and Yitzhak never was slave, and how we can count the slavery?
Because in the time of Yitzhak already, Avraham Avinu had problems with Yishmael and him, and then there was problems with Esav, and then there was problems with Yosef and the brothers, and there was a problem with Yaakov by Lavan. So Hashem, in his kindness, started the slavery from the birth of Yitzchak. Right, because that's when the Jews were basically enslaved to a lot of various problems. Yes.
Tonight is the first night I ever heard a rabbi say that 30,000 Jews died on the way out of Egypt.
Not on the way. This is they left 30 years earlier. They escaped from Egypt 30 years before they were supposed to. They weren't supposed to go out. That's why they got killed.
Who killed them? The Egyptians?
The Plishtim. Philistines. What?
Palestinian.
What?
Palestinian, no?
Not Palestinians. Philistinians. Plishtim. What? The Navi Shaka told them that they should go. Okay. Do you know how to put on tefillin?
Yeah.
Where does it say that? A chumash?
A midrash.
So what's your problem?
I'm saying, but...
Vahimi Kates, and was at the end of Shleishim Shandra, 30 years, Abba Meir Shana was at the end of the 430 years. Vahi Ba'etim Yemez, that was the middle of the day, broad daylight, in a country that nobody was able to escape. In a broad daylight, 3 million Jews walked out of Egypt. Yatzu called Sivis Hashem Eretz Mitzrayim, all the armies of Hashem, meaning the Jews, called Sivis Hashem, were taken out of Egypt, or left Egypt. And Rashi explains, what is the Pasuk saying? It was at the end of the 430 years. The second the 430 years was over, Hashem did not keep the Jews even another second in Golus. Once the time came to go, that's it. Go out of Golus. He didn't even keep, that's what it says, at the end of the 430 years, he didn't keep him for another second. Okay, so it says, Be'etzemim is it. Now, Rashi quotes before, there's three times in Chumash when it says, Be'etzemim is it, middle of the day. One is by the flood, it says, in middle of the day, Noach went into the ark. In middle of the day, Avram circumcised himself. And in the middle of the day, the Jews left Egypt. All three things, the Torah is teaching us basically a form of a miracle. When Noah was building the ark, and when everybody was finally told God's bringing a flood, the people said, we're not going to let Noah go into the ark. We're going to stop him from going into the ark. So God said, I'll show you. He went, he didn't sneak in the middle of the night, you know, run away from the middle of the night. He walked in broad daylight. He went in with the animals and his family to show the people, you big talkers, you're not going to let him go in. I'm going to let him go in. By Avraham Avinu, everybody said, you're nuts. You're going to circumcise yourself. We're not going to let you. You're a 99-year-old man. He was 99 at the bris. They said, we're not going to let you. You're crazy. You're going to circumcise yourself at 99. You're crazy. We're not going to let you. So the pasuk says, in the middle of the day, broad daylight, nobody stopped him. The third time is over here, it says that the Egyptians said, you think we're going to let the Jews go out of Egypt? Even a single slave couldn't escape Egypt. So Hashem says, in the middle of broad daylight, I'm going to take every Jew out of Egypt, that everybody should see that I'm taking them out of Egypt. Now, here this is the first time, and one of the few times in Chumash, that the Jews are called Tzivis Hashem. Tzivis Hashem literally means the army of God. Tzava is army of God. In Chassidus, it explains that the word Tzava, like it says, why over here are the Jews called Tzivis Hashem? I mean, you don't find anywhere in Chumash the Jews are called the armies of Hashem. But the word Tzava, which we define as in English, is army. But Tzava has two... Tzava. Tzava. No. Tzava, army, is Tzadik Beit Aleph. It's an army, Tzava. It's even in modern Hebrew they use it. Tzava. Huh? Yeah. Tzava is army, that's the tradition of the word. Okay. Now, Tzava also means beautiful colors. It says the word tziv'einim nivru, they were created multicolors. No, it's a different word. Tzva, tzadik beis aleph, means also multicolored. Tzva, what? Blue? No, that's a different word. And then the third definition of the word tzva is time. There's a pasuk that says, "Allah tzva le'enish aliyaretz." There's a time for a person on earth. I mean, every person is given their time when they're gonna, how long they're gonna live. So the Jewish people are called this concept of army for three reasons. Number one, they're soldiers. Number two, the colors. And number three, there's a concept of time. This shows, as Chassidus explains, this is the fundamental role of a Jew in life. A soldier primarily is to fight battles. There's a battle in the world between good and bad. And the Jew, the neshama, is supposed to fight over the goof, over the body, over evil, over all the corrupt evil things in the world. So the concept of what is a Jew? A Jew is a chayal, a soldier, to fight the battle of good against bad. Or, as it says at the beginning of Chumash, after Hashem created man, he said, Pru urvu, fruitful and multiply, umilu asa'aretz, and fill the world, v'chivshu, and conquer the world. The job of a Jew is to conquer the world. So that's the concept of a soldier. Tzva, beauty, colors. What does it mean? As everybody knows, ultimate beauty in art is not when you have one color. If you have one color, you can't have beauty. When you have multicolored blending together in harmony, that's when you have a beautiful color. Just like in music, one piece can't be beautiful music. When you have multi pieces blending together, you have a symphony, you have beautiful music. Hashem made the Jews in different varieties. Hashem didn't only make Ashkenazic Jews. No, really. Hashem made Sephardic Jews, Ashkenazic Jews, Hasidic Jews, non-Hasidic Jews, this type of Jew, that type of Jew, there's a million different types of Jews. Because the beauty of religion, of Yiddishkeit, is when you have so many different customs, and you have, not different, halacha, when you have so many different customs blending together in harmony, you know, all roads leading to Rome, so to speak, so then you have the ultimate beauty of Yiddishkeit. And at the same time, a person has to know that we have a mission to accomplish, meaning we are soldiers fighting a battle with beauty, but at the same time, we have to understand that we're given X amount of time to live. And as the Rebbe writes, a person doesn't have enough time to tell the angel of death, no, you can't take me yet. I got to put my house in order and I have to get my things going. You know, a person doesn't have that time. A person is born from Hashem with X amount of time and a certain mission. You waste time, it's going to be harder to fulfill the mission. You have to work overtime. So the Eibishter says, the Jews here, becoming a nation, are called Tzivis Hashem to bring out the three fundamental concepts of what Judaism is all about. Number one, we are a soldier fighting the battle of evil, against evil in the world. It has to be done in a form of beauty, and it has to be done in a certain time. That's all the thing. Hashem is called Tzvokos. The Jews are called Tzivis Hashem. It's all connected. So therefore, the Jews over here, it says, at the end, in the middle of this day, the Jews, called Tzivis Hashem, all the hosts, or the army of Hashem, the legions of Hashem, left the land of Egypt, because we have to know that this is the mission to be Tzivis Hashem, the army of Hashem. Okay, then the pasuk continues, and says, Leil Shemurim El Hashem, it's a night of anticipation for Hashem, or guarding of Hashem, or as we know, that the first night of Pesach, like you have the concept of, you know, some people don't lock the doors, some people don't say the whole Shema, it's considered Leil Shemurim, a guarded night. What do you mean a guarded night? It's a guarded night LaHashem, which is the night of the 15th, Yitziyah Me'eretz Mitzrayim, to take him out of Egypt. This is the night of Hashem. Shemurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael d'reisam. This is the night that Hashem said to Avram Avinu, this is the night I'm taking your children out of Golos. So basically, this is the night that Hashem promised Avram Avinu that it's all going to be fine.
What do they mean by they don't say the whole Shema?
The first night of Pesach, you don't say the whole Shema, just the first paragraph. Why? Because it's a knife that night that Hashem guards us. And because Hashem guards us, there's no need of doing anything else. That's the simple, there's a deeper interpretation. Lel Shimurim Lashem is the night Hashem was anticipating for from the time he told Avraham Avinu. Because when Hashem told Avraham Avinu, I'm taking your children out in 430 years, right? Well, like it says later on in Chumash, earlier in Chumash, when Yosef had the dreams, so it says over there in the Pasuk, the brothers were jealous. His father, as Rashi interprets it to mean, was waiting and anticipating when will the dream come true. That everybody bows to him, the sun, the moon. So he says, Alel Shimurim Lashem, this is the night Hashem was waiting for. What does it mean? The whole purpose of the Golus of Egypt was for this night of going out of Golus. Which means, Golus itself is only a means to Geula. You can't have redemption if you don't have Golus. So Hashem says, what is the purpose of this whole Golus? Why am I making this Golus? This is Leil Shimurim Lashem. I'm guarding it. I'm anticipating. I can't wait to take the Jews out of Egypt. The whole purpose of Golus is for redemption.
So
we're suffering longer. So the same formula, the longer you suffer, the greater the redemption will be. The greater the downer, the greater the upper. Of course. The only reason we're going to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes is because it was the first redemption. But redemption-wise, the Pasuk says, Kimei Tzeischem Eretz Mitzrayim, Eretz Mitzrayim, like the days going out of Egypt, I'll show you miracles. The Medrash says, it's going to be wonders of wonders even compared to Egypt. There's going to be wonders even compared to the wonders of Egypt.
Is it before
the 6,000 years ago? The latest Mashiach can come is by the year 6,000.
The latest.
But you could bring Shabbos in early. He says, he brings down over here a question. Why is it by Hashem, by Golus Mitzrayim, was only 400 years? And the end result was 210. And this is going to go much, much longer. So he says, Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta asked this to Rabbi Yitzchok, and he said, this is the merit of Avram, this is the merit of Moshe, it's a whole different story. But Chassidus explains that the fact that this Golus is such a downer, time-wise, 2,000 years almost, of Golus, and it's a much worse Golus than they ever had before, spiritually and physically. If you look into the duration of the last 2,000 years, you have the Inquisitions and the Crusaders and Tach V'Katat, and you had the Holocaust, and I mean all these terrible things that they never had them in any of the other Golos. Even though, if you read the Midrashim that discuss Churban Bayis Sheni, destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, it speaks about rivers of blood from the dead people that they killed, and how many people they killed. I mean, it was a very, but never, and time-wise, this Golus is much, much longer than all the other Golus. Golus between first and second Beis Hamikdash was 70 years, right? Mitzrayim was 210 years. This Golus is 2,000 years. Why? Because the ultimate goal is not the Golus, is the Geula that comes after it. And that's what the Pasuk is teaching us here. The Pasuk is saying, Lel Shimurim Ul Hashem, you should know that the whole concept of Golus is an anticipation of Hashem for the sake of Geula. And therefore, the second the Golus is over, time is up, Hashem doesn't keep him even an additional second into Golus. Hashem takes him out right away. And same thing in this Golus. The second Golus is up, it's going to happen right away.
So you mean,
when the Mashiach comes, you immediately go to Jerusalem?
Yes, sir. Okay, page Yud Aleph, middle of the page. Friedrich Rebbe is explaining the concept of Shituf, and he says that Shituf, by definition, means, like the Gemara says, there's three partners in a person. Father, mother, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a primary partner. Even in the goof, which the parents create, Hashem is also the primary partner. And he says, why are they called shutfim? Because they have a say in the matter. They have bechira, they have the child, like he called it Benazi, it says, nafshi choshka batera. And he says, on the other hand though, that somebody that doesn't have free choice, like he says, the earth, when you plant a seed, the chita, and things grow, it's not that the earth had free choice to do it or not to do it. So he says, Ustarev says, in the middle of the bed, v'chei mashikosev. The same thing that it said, Mimagat for Shamash, from the sweetness comes the food of the sun. Or Mimagat, from the sweetness, Garashirachim, the Glashi says in Chumash, some plants come from the sunlight, some plants come from the moonlight. Hari Ains, the Bebchida says Shamash Viyari Yadeach, it's not from the freedom of the sun or the moon. Kumashikos, like it says, Aimechaz Ali Yizrach, if you say it, it's not going to shine. Meaning, Shleyash Bechidus Hashemish, the Shemish doesn't have the Bechidah. Shleyelazirich, not to shine. In other words, something that has no free choice, you can't call a Shutif. And if you can't call him a Shutif, you can't praise it because there's nothing to praise him about. He didn't do anything. Or, like he says, or that the light shouldn't be warm, V'chember Avonar, moonlight. Shleikadir shouldn't be cold. He says, "Vakein agam sheish boyer deharis shemesh viareach." Even though we get sustenance from the earth, from the sun, and from the moon, and the tayelam inyan hashituf, you can't call them inyan of partners that they should be praised. Shariam kagars and biyaruchetziv. It's only like the axe in the hand of the chopper. What does it mean? Or kamei hagars and just like the axe. Shechetziv avonim inahar the chops stones from the mountain. And the Taila guys in Shutfas Bamlocha. You don't say that the axe is a partner in the work. He has no say in the matter. It's only that the person chops through him. So he says, so it is by the sun and the moon, the chotz, all the hosts and all the constellations and everything. The fact that they don't have free choice, guys in there only like the axe in the hand of the chopper. And therefore, as the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to give them any covet, any credence, any importance, or nothing. So he says, "Vein l'tayelam inyan hashituf." Therefore, you can't consider them partners. So again, the Rebbe is explaining what's the difference between Aveda Zara and Shituf. Aveda Zara is that you say the Eibush has nothing to do with the world, because Hashem's too great for the world to be part of the world. He says, that's Aveda Zara. Why? Because Hashem has a shkocha pratis in the world, because Hashem does deal with the world. Because Gashmi Sunuchni is compared to Hashem is the same thing. But Shituf is, it takes it even a step further. Not only does the Eibush not give a shkocha pratis, but to give any credence to anything else but Hashem is a Veda, for a Jew is Shituf. So he says, Amna malashituf nitztavu Yisrael levad. And the whole concept of Shituf, only Jews are commanded, not Goyim. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The concept of Hashem Echad, that there's no partners besides Hashem himself, that only applies to Shema Yisrael, only to a Jew. And Goyim are not obligated on this, it says in the Pasuk, Yatev Gvuli Samim. Hashem set up the boundaries of the nations, the Mizpah B'nai Yisrael, to the numbers of the Jews. Meaning, just like there's 70 Jews that came into Mitzrayim, so there are 70 nations. The Mizpah B'nai Yisrael, Ayin Nefesh, Yetzir Yerech Yaakov, which left from Yaakov's thigh. Well, a nagin misper b'nei yisom corresponding with the number of Jews, Hashem ayin nefesh, which are 70 yatzik gvulus amim ayin umis, meaning v'hainu the kabbalas hashpa osam mi ayin sodim. What does it mean corresponding with the set number 70? What's this number 70? There are 70 ayin sodim. Like we know, when Yaakov Avinu fought the Malach, the famous story in Chumash when he fought the Malach was the angel of Esav. That's the Malach that he fought was the angel of Esav. Because all nations get their sustenance through the Malachim. They get it through the Malachim. V'rak, Nesham, Yisrael, V'chichelek, Havaya, Amei, which are a part of Hashem, meaning they have direct connection to Hashem. It doesn't go through Malachim. They're commanded on the whole union of Shituf, not to have any partnership with Hashem, b'shum davar in any way whatsoever. So the Rebbe is explaining, why are Goyim allowed to believe in Shituf, and not Jews? Because Goyim's sustenance does come through Shituf. It comes through the Malachim. Jews, though, their sustenance comes straight from Hashem, so nothing else exists but Hashem. No. The Malach there, if it is Kegazim Yerachaitzev. Isn't it like the axe in the hand of the chopper? Even when Hashpah of Hashem goes through things, is the axe in the hand of the chopper.
Look at the names of the Malachim, everything refers to Kaddish
Baruch. Because Malachim are bottled to Hashem. But he's, let's see what he says. Okay, Meshach calls like the Pasuk says. You should know today and place to your heart. In the heavens above and the earth below, ain oid. So simply ain oid means there's no other God. Here he explains, like Dr. Rebbe says in Tanya, what does ain oid mean? Ain oid means there's nothing but God. And he says the word oid in Chumash means secondary. Like there's an expression in the Gemara, Yehuda va'ed l'kra. You have Yehuda, you need a proof from a pasuk. You know, you like Yehuda is an additional proof to the pasuk. Va'ed means secondary. Ein oid means there's not only there's no other God, ein oid there's nothing else but Hashem. There's not even something secondary. Not the pshat, Hashem is primary, and this is secondary. Ein oid means there's nothing but God. There's no secondary, there's no primary, there's nothing. The only thing that exists is Hashem. And that's why, like, Dalet Rebbe asks the question in Tanya, Ein Eid simply means there's no other God. I need a pasuk to tell me there's no other God. By definition, there can only be one God. Because if God is Amni everything, so how can you have two gods? He says, that's not what the pasuk is teaching us. The pasuk is teaching us Ein Eid, not that there's no other God. Ein Eid, there's nothing but God. Not even in a way that they have a say in the matter, that they have, you know, a shituf, a partnership, nothing. Ain't Eid, the only thing that exists is Hashem. Like he says in Kemesh Yikos, like the Pasuk says, Ru'u atra, see now, ki ani hu, I am who I am. Vein o likimi modi, what Chazal say, d'lashut v'imi. There's no partner with me. It doesn't mean there's no other God with me. It means there's not even a partner with me. It's only Hashem himself. That a Jew is obligated to believe in, because the Jew understands that he doesn't have any connection to Malachim. It goes straight from Hashem himself. Goyim that have their sustenance from the 70 nations, so they have a belief, they are allowed to believe in Shituf, according to most opinions. So it's a whole different story.